You know, we were having that talk on the last segment, and one of the big head talking networks is looking at the NBA play-in tournament games going on tonight. And one of the big head talking networks on one of their flagship shows just said, big easy decision. Should either the Lakers or the Pelicans lay down tonight to avoid the Nuggets in the first round? I'm like, what are we doing here, man? What are we doing here? No. You're going to catch the Nuggets one way or the other. You might as well guarantee you're at least in the playoffs, because all you need is to lay down tonight, take the L in game two to a Golden State team that suddenly gets white hot, or a Sacramento team that is upstart as it gets, and you don't get to face the Nuggets at all because your ass is on the golf course for round one. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. Why? Because it is after 7 o'clock in the morning. That means that you are right now exactly 58 minutes and 10 seconds away from punching the clock promptly at 8 a.m. You will fire off responses to all those emails. You will do like one thing on your to-do list to say that you got the day off to a great start, and then you're going to walk down that hallway. You're going to head down to the break room, and you're going to take your first well-earned break of the day and talk sports with your coworkers. And if you're going to talk sports with your coworkers, you got to know what's going on. And if you need to know what's going on, you need this. It is the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know for today, April 16th, 2024. Let us dive right in with item numero uno. The WNBA draft took place last night, and entering the WNBA was, I think, perhaps the best single season crop of young players that this league has ever seen join the league at one time. It will come to the shock of exactly and precisely not a damn person that Caitlin Clark was selected first overall out of Iowa. Perhaps the most anticipated draft prospect in the history of the WNBA. Now, there are some things that even the great Caitlin Clark is going to have to work on. There are things that are going to translate immediately. Her ability to hit logo threes. The fact that, and she put this on full display against the Gamecocks of South Carolina in the national championship game, she has about as good of court vision as anybody that's ever played in the WNBA. But Caitlin Clark does not play a super physical style of basketball. The WNBA is absolutely more physical than the college ranks are. How will she adjust to that? We are going to find out. This is a pairing that I am excited about. Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston, the former Gamecock. This creates one of the most alluring inside-outside duos that we have ever seen in the WNBA. Who do you pick to stop? Caitlin Clark raining down threes from the outside, Aaliyah Boston dominating the glass and getting those garbage points underneath. I wish you the best of luck, everybody else. Stanford's Cameron Brink drafted second overall. She was a top-notch shot blocker at Stanford. And she finds herself in a very good position as well. Brink, in any other year, likely the number one overall draft pick. She has gotten much better on the offensive side. She goes 6'4". She's not the tallest in the league, but she's up there with him. She's got a good three-point range. The Sparks took Brink to build around after Aniko Okwumike decided to leave. She is going to have to develop more offensively, But defensively, Cameron Brink is a phenomenal player. Camilla Cardoso goes third overall. This former South Carolina Gamecock will join the Chicago Sky, where they will build around her. The WNBA does have one thing that I find interesting. Low post offense is not something that is primarily featured at the next level. There are players who can do it, like Aaliyah Boston we just mentioned a moment ago. But there's not a lot of true fives in the WNBA. Camilla Cardoso is one of them. She stepped into the role of Aaliyah Boston at South Carolina, and she excelled. She has a phenomenal inside defensive presence, not quite the shot blocker that Cameron Brink is, but a pretty good one and a pretty good you're shooting from 6 feet or deeper type of defender. The Sky finished next to last in defensive field goal percentage last year. Cardoso, a 6'7 behemoth in the middle, will help them improve that rank. And she gets paired alongside former LSU Tiger Angel Reese. Now, why did Angel Reese drop all the way down to 7 after being pushed as one of the best college basketball players in recent memory? The answer is because she wasn't. She wasn't. She was very good. But I would take anybody who got drafted ahead of her. Rikia Jackson, J.C. Sheldon out of Ohio State, Aaliyah Edwards from UConn, who was so important in their Final Four run to get up against Iowa. Angel Reese has a limited shooting range. She has a slow first step move when she gets the basketball on the outside. But she is a phenomenal rebounder. That is the strength of the game of Angel Reese. Second chance opportunities. You pair her alongside Camilla Cardoso. I'm going to go ahead and make the call now. The Chicago Sky will be the best rebounding team in the WNBA next year. And I will tell you, with this draft class, with Jackson, with Edwards, with Reese, with Cardoso, with Brink, with Caitlin Clark, I think this is the first year that I will say for sure the WNBA is going to have some time on the 75-inch next year. That's not a question mark. That's a statement. This is the best crop of players that has ever entered this league. They immediately, the WNBA did, immediately started talking about expansion because of how many great players came into the league this year, and I think they will have it sooner rather than later. Let's get to item number two. You can count on one hand the number of NHLers who have gotten 100 assists in a single season. Last night, while his squad, the Edmonton Oilers, ran up a 9-2 hockey scoreline against the San Jose Sharks, Connor McDavid became just the fourth all-time. Before last night, the players that had 100 helpers in a single season included Gretzky, Lemieux, and Orr. That was the entire list. You can add Connor McDavid to that list. He is the first player to reach 100 assists in a single season since Wayne Gretzky in 1991 when he had 122 assists for the Kings. In 88-89, Mario Lemieux had 114. And back in 1970-71, Bobby Orr had 102 assists. Those are the only ones who have done it. Gretzky, however, did it 11 times. If you ever, you know, we talked earlier in the week, great one, about I don't think there has ever been an individual athlete as dominant in their sport as Tiger Woods. I lied, Wayne Gretzky. Gretzky and Woods, without a doubt, are the two most individually dominant athletes of their sport ever. I rack your brain and see if you can come up with another one. Brady, maybe. I think Brady, maybe. But here's the thing. Brady dragged a lot of great players along with him, but he was surrounded by the Patriots, and he had Bill Belichick, and he had phenomenal leadership under Bob Kraft. very hands-on leadership under Bob Kraft. Gave a lot of happy endings to Tom Brady seasons.
I'm going to go with Tony Hawk.
I would agree. If you put skateboarding on the list, I would agree. But I would also point out that, great one, everything Tony Hawk did got matched within a year or two. Tony Hawk was innovative. He dominated everything, but everything he did matched within a year or two. It took Connor McDavid from 1991 to 2024 to do something that Gretzky did 11 times, and McDavid's the first guy to do it 33 years later. First guy to do it. Gretzky did it 11 times.
I get what you're saying, but without Tony Hawk, all those people who surpassed him would never have thought of trying the stuff that he tried.
I agree.
And so you told me to come up with one. I think he's one.
I think it's about as good of an argument as you can make. I think Tony Hawk was dominant and was innovative as hell. But again, I look at it and go, Tony Hawk did a 540 tail whip or whatever. I'm not going to lie. I'll watch skateboarding. I don't know a lot about it. Tony Hawk would do
a nice
stuff.
Try as far as
If I wouldn't have said that, it sounded like I knew what the hell I was talking about, right?
It did.
I know a McTwist is a real thing because I used to play Tony Hawk's video game. An Ollie is a regular jump. You've got a grind, nose grind, tail grind. You've got a stoppie, a wheelie. That's when you go up on the front wheels or the back wheels. Like, I know what I learned from Tony Hawk's Pro Skater video game series. But I think, like, Hawk, everything Tony Hawk did got matched within a couple of years. Now, would there have been the guys around to match him if they weren't inspired to become skaters by Tony Hawk? Probably not. But he still got matched. Gretzky was the last guy to do 100 assists. He did it in 91. It took 33 years for the next guy to get there. It took 33 years for one guy to do it in 1 year, a thing that Gretzky did 11 times. That's unbelievable. It's not real. That's not a real thing, except it totally is. Connor McDavid scored 64 goals last season, jokingly said earlier this season that after going 10 games without a goal from February 9th to 26th, he was done shooting the puck. During that span, 23 assists, including a career-high 6 in an 8-4 win against the Red Wings on February 13th. McDavid called his shot and lived up to it. Connor McDavid, 100 assists, just the fourth player in the history of the National Hockey League to get that done. Here we go to item number 3. Your NBA play-in tournament, that's what I was going for.
Yeah, NBN is a totally different thing.
Your NBA play-in tournament hath arrived, ladies and gentlemen, and it gets started this evening at 7:30 on TNT when our New Orleans Pelicans host the dreaded Los Angeles Lakers. King James, Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves coming to town tonight to the Big Easy. The winner earns a ticket to the 7 seed in the NBA playoffs. However, that comes along with a Herculean task to square off with your reigning, defending, undisputed NBA world champions, the Denver Nuggets. New Orleans opens up as a 1-basket favorite, -1.5 in this game. Your total at 223.5. The teams are even on the money line at -110 a pop. ESPN's basketball projection give the Pelicans a 58% chance of winning this game tonight. I've already given you my thoughts on it. LeBron in elimination games on his career averages about 35 points per game. LeBron James is a triple-double threat tonight. And I'm very intrigued by that because to me, Zion and B.I. have to match whatever LeBron does. CJ, Trey, and Herb have to match whatever AD does. And then it comes down to can the rest of the boys match whatever Rui Hachimura does? He's the key to this game for LA. Assuming that the keys for New Orleans are good to go. If Z and B.I. match LeBron, if C.J. McCollum is able to match up with Anthony Davis, I'm talking in terms of points, and if Rui Hachimura can outscore or doesn't outscore the rest of the gang, the Pellies win. Where do the Lakers win this game? Lonzo, it's on the offensive glass. It's Anthony Davis getting offensive rebounds over Larry Nance Jr. It's LeBron getting second chance opportunities by following his shots. It is on the offensive glass. If the Pellies out-rebound the Lakers on the offensive side, they'll win unless Rui Hachimura has like a 24-point night, in which case it doesn't matter. But I'm going to go, it comes down to one of two things. Either the Lakers get more second-chance opportunities than the Pelicans, or Rui Hachimura has a great night. Who's your pick in this game? Great one.
I'm going with Lakers. I know you don't want me to. Just because of experience, I think experience wins out. The playoff experience that the Lakers team has, as opposed to, you know, what the Pelicans have.
The Lakers have more playoff experience. The Pelicans have been in this position like what, for the last 5 years? They've been a play-in team. They've been in these play-ins and they've made it out a couple of times. I'm intrigued. We'll see what King James does tonight. That is not the only game on the hardwood tonight, because coming up at 10 p.m. on TNT, the Golden State Warriors take a roadie out to Sacramento. This might be the more competitive game. ESPN's projection has a 50% chance for both teams. Now, Golden State, great one, on the road is a 3.5-point favorite in this game. They are -150 on the money line. The over-under total set at 223.5 for this one. I got a slight lean to the Kings, I think. I could be talked out of that. But I think, unless, and I will, as I do very frequently, put a caveat on it. If the Golden State Warriors get to 23-pointers tonight, they win this game. If they don't get to 23-pointers, 20. You know how stupid high that is of a number? 23s. They did 28 against the Lakers. Most of their wins down the stretch, they've been hovering around that number. I think they will have to get to 23s because DeMontis Sabonis is going to get his underneath. My dude's averaging 14 boards a game, 4 of them on the offensive glass. He's going to get his. Draymond, on the flip side, is averaging 7 boards per game. There is a clear rebounding advantage for the Sacramento Kings, and I have a slight lean that way unless the Dubs look like the Dubs of old and the Splash Bros make their return. Who you got in this one? Great one.
I don't want to answer this question because I don't want Golden State to win.
I didn't ask who you want to win. I asked who you're picking to win. I
wanted to make sure it was known.
Yeah, we all know. I think you've made your Steph stance clear enough for us.
Yeah, Golden State's going to win.
Golden State with the runaway. So we are split on both games. I'm going with the Pellies at the house. I'm going with the Kings at the house. Lonzo going with both road teams tonight. We will break it down on tomorrow's Rob Brown Show. There's your water cooler cheat sheet. Top 3 sports stories that you need to know for today, April 16th, 2024, when we come back here in just a moment from now. The Paris Olympics are just months away. Do we care about any sport in the Olympics more than basketball? I don't think we do. Well, the basketball roster has been set, and they have decided to go in a very interesting direction with the roster building for this team. Let's take a look at who's in and who's out and ask, do you care about the basketball gold medal coming back where it belongs to these great United States of America? We'll do that next. Robin, Lonzo, and you on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate. Do you go in on the Summer Olympics? So you're a big Summer Olympics guy. You would like casual viewer. Where do you fall on that? Because we haven't worked for an Olympics together yet.
Yeah, I love Olympics period, whether it's summer or winter. And I'll watch just about any sport.
I'm the same way. And it doesn't matter. Exactly right. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim. Doesn't matter if it's summer or winter. Doesn't matter if it's on the other side of the globe and airing live in the middle of the night. Every 4 years, I turn into a curling expert, a downhill skiing expert, or I turn into a handball expert or an archery expert. I know medals.
Got to tell you, this year, more than any other year, there's certain countries I got it out for them, Belarus.
Uh-huh.
And anytime we go against Belarus, you're gonna hear me cheering from the deep woods of Gray Court.
You'll hear me cheering all the way in the capital of Belarus, which is, of course, Google says Minsk.
I was going to say a place where entertainment doesn't exist.
I'm going to say Minsk, M-I-N-S-K, Minsk.
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 Yeah.
Minsk City is the capital of Belarus. Belarus, the Rob Brown Show is going all red, white, and blue on your ass. All right? We're going full Toby Keith on you. So, I agree. Ordinarily, whenever the Olympics roll around, great one. There are small countries that I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for them. Whenever I see, you know, this nation of 6,000 people is represented in one sport this year by this one athlete who is completely by themselves and on their own in these Olympic Games.
Have to carry their own flag, yeah. All that kind of stuff, yeah.
The flag party is just that one guy. Or just that one gal. I always kind of have a soft spot for them. Not Belarus. I hope we beat your asses in everything, Belarus. I hope we get matched up with Belarus in the gold medal of every sport in the Olympics. Soccer, basketball, badminton. We will give you all that smoke on the badminton course I get. What do we call it? Court, I guess?
It's a court, yeah.
Okay. You're catching that smoke, Belarus. However, Zoe, if I asked you what Olympic sports, like 1, 2, and 3, you're genuinely most excited about, what would you say they are? Like, I'm only going to let you watch 3 Olympic sports start to finish this season. What are they?
Basketball, obviously.
Yep.
But also wrestling.
Okay.
I know that doesn't interest you that much, but me.
No, that's fine. I'm asking for yours.
Me and Dan Severin. Skateboarding.
Skateboarding? I dig that.
I'm looking at the sports, dude. There's nothing on here that I would say, nah, I'm not watching that. Breaking is an Olympic sport.
Dude, 100% I'm watching that. 1,000% I'm watching
canoe
that.
Canoe stuff, like the slalom and the sprint. I think that's amazing what those guys can do in those rapids and the fact that they make those pools for...
Oh, for sure.
...fencing this year. I mean, there's a ton of stuff.
I would go in hard for some fencing.
Judo. I'm going through the sports and just
great
looking.
List.
And rugby. I may not know what's going on entirely. But rugby is in the Olympics. I mean,
rugby is shockingly easier to pick up than you might think. It's very obviously being a large part of the origination of American football. There's a lot of bleed over there.
Of course, you got volleyball.
Yep.
A lot of people love the volleyball.
Yep, beach and indoor.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan. But here's what I would say for the point of this segment.
And water polo with the stupid hats.
That's I'm gonna tell you right now.
Those hats are so stupid.
I will die before I play water polo. I would die if I play water polo.
You, okay? Good luck surviving if you do play.
If we go up and down the Summer Olympic list, I would go with, there's really not a sport that I don't think I would try with the exception of water polo. I think it's the only sport on the list that I will not try.
I don't know. Artistic gymnastics. I don't know about you doing that.
I might be pretty good at it. White guy got rhythm. All right. White boy got rhythm.
Equestrian. You would try equestrian? There it is. That's the sort of thing you can only get exclusively on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and the X.
I got rhythm. Actually, I lied. There has been one more brought up that I would not do, which is trampoline, because my knees would explode with a capital E. I want you to know, and I mean this, I do not watch the trampoline. It is one of, like, probably two sports in the whole thing that I don't watch, because if something goes wrong for a trampoliner, you are going to see something horrific.
Yeah.
And I can't do it.
Probably someone's going to get hurt really bad. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with the skateboarding, except for with the trampoline, they're way up there. Other rock climbing, but they got harnesses.
I can watch that. For whatever reason, I cannot watch the trampoline, because I know the first time that I tune in and watch trampoline, I'm going to watch somebody's knee separate, amputate itself. I can't do it.
Are you going to watch table tennis, though?
Because I will watch the hell out of some ping pong.
Some bad memories for you.
You'll
never be able to avenge that loss, probably. So, I mean, you know.
Never say never.
Okay. Unless you want to go up to Detroit to do it. You could.
Once I find my table tennis Mr. Miyagi, it's all over. I'll be back for blood. Okay, the point here is, I think that if you ask most Americans, the overwhelming majority of them are putting basketball on the list. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty fair to say. Team USA finalizing their 2024 Paris Olympics men's basketball roster. 11 players will be sent to Le Paris to defend the honor of the great United States at our sport. Here is that list. Great one. I would like you to listen to this list of 11 selected players, and I'd like you to give your knee-jerk reaction. Here they are. LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Anthony Edwards, Jason Tatum, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton, head coach Steve Kerr.
Not a guaranteed win.
Really?
When's the last time that for the Olympics, USA was a guaranteed win, with how good all these teams have gotten?
International play is better than ever before.
And quite a few of those guys actually play in the NBA. So they're not going to be intimidated or awestruck when they play this USA team.
Sure.
It's no longer a given that the USA can win the medal. The gold medal, they're going to have to actually work for it.
I would agree. I would say there has been.
But that's not a bad thing, because it makes it more entertaining. Because now it's not like, yeah, we can count that as a medal. We can't.
Listen, there are times I get on the video game and I set it to easy mode so that the Saints win 999-0. Sometimes I just want a butt whooping. All right. And you're going to get that in the early rounds in pool play. The U.S. is going to come up against, you know, Jamaica or whatever, and we're going to wax them by 90. I'll tell you what I like about this team. It's twofold. Number one, it's veteran as it gets. It is veteran AF, and I'm all in for that. Why? Because guys like LeBron, guys like Steph Curry, guys like KD, guys like Joel Embiid, fresh off the NBA season. Because remember, the NBA Finals end in mid-June. The Paris Summer Olympics start like days after the NBA Finals. Now, obviously, of these guys are going to be in it.
LeBron and Steph might.
They may not make it to the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, so they might have some time to go ahead and practice.
Very well rested for Paris. But some of these guys, Jason Tatum, very good chance he's in the NBA Finals. Drew Holiday, also with Boston. Suns, Devin Booker. I mean, all these guys are on. Every guy on this list is on a playoff team, I think. Is it every guy? Yeah, I think every guy on the playoff team. A couple of them play in teams, but every team going to the play. Every guy on this roster going to the playoffs. I like it for a few reasons. Number one, I like it because it is veteran. And I like it because it is veteran comprised primarily, guys, of guys who want to go win gold medals. This list, with only 11 guys going to Paris, is not going to have guys that are on it for a free vacation. I think we had a couple of years in men's basketball where we had guys who were in it just for the free vacation. Oh, you mean I get to take my wife to Germany for a couple of days? I get to take my wife to Tokyo for a couple of days and it's paid for by somebody else? Yeah, I'm all in for that. This roster strikes me as a roster of guys whose legacies are set. LeBron's got a couple of gold medals. Steph Curry's got a couple of gold medals. Kevin Durant has 3 gold medals. Most of these guys have already been here, done this, which says to me, if they are here to do it again, they want to do it again. They want to win gold. Second off, Steve Kerr. If there is one thing that you can say about Steve Kerr, it's that Steve Kerr has for the years, with the exception of Draymond Green, been a pretty good personality manager, because there is a lot of ego on that Golden State team. Ego's not the reason that Golden State has struggled. It is not begin. It's not been because guys are getting too big for their britches. It has been because the team is aging, and it is because of Draymond Green. He has either been acting a damn fool on and off the basketball floor, or he's not been playing at all, which is also bad. I think you got a coach who's been an excellent personality manager, A. And I think, B, you have got a guy that understands the fine balance, the balancing act that goes between letting personalities be personalities, but also coaching a basketball team. Also making sure the tactics are sound, the game plan is run, etc. I think you've built a veteran team of guys that are hungry for a ride into the sunset. This is it for LeBron. I don't know how many more years LeBron's got in the NBA. I know it ain't 4. I know he's not going to the Olympics at 44. This is his fourth Olympics? 4th Olympics. He got a bronze in 04, gold in 08 and 2012. He would like one more, because the list of players that have gold 3 times is very short. Durant and Carmelo Anthony are the only players that have 3 gold medals. That's the whole list. KD and Carmelo, that's the entire list. If there's a list that LeBron can put his name on, he wants his name on the list. Everything, scoring title, assist, NBA championships. If there's a list LeBron can get his name on, LeBron wants his name on the list. That list is KD and Carmelo. There's one more thing. There are, from the 2023 FIBA World Cup, that is the second biggest event in basketball outside of the Olympics. Honestly, those in the basketball world will tell you the FIBA World Games probably bigger than the Olympics, because it's wide open to everybody. We did not medal in the FIBA World Cup. Didn't medal in it. It was frankly embarrassing that we didn't medal in it. They brought 2 guys from that team to this one. 2 guys from that team to this one. Good. This was a team that had a crap mentality. It certainly was not the most impressive team. Tyrese Halliburton, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Brandon Ingram, Paolo Banchero, Bobby Portis, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, Jaren Jackson Jr., Walker Kessler, and Austin Reeves. That's the list. That's the FIBA World Cup. They did not make it through. It was, again, embarrassing not to medal in the FIBA World Cup. We won the group. over Greece with the Antetokounmpos, with New Zealand and Jordan. We made it into the second round. We got by Montenegro and Greece the second time, but did not outscore Lithuania in that series. We ended up making it and getting bounced in the made it past Italy in the quarterfinals, got bounced by Germany in the semifinals. Did not win the bronze medal match. It was embarrassing. Steve Kerr said, no. I'm bringing Halliburton and Edwards. Edwards because he's putting up, I mean, Edwards has dragged the Timberwolves without Big Cat into the three seed. And Tyrese Halliburton was probably one of two guys on that FIBA team that did anything. I got no problem with the two you brought, but the fact that you left all these other guys at home and you said, you know what? Let's just go get the most talented player. You bring a defensive expert in Drew Holiday. You bring an offensive rebounding machine in Bam Adebayo. You bring AD and LeBron to pair them up together. D-Book and Anthony Edwards on the floor at the same time is terrible. And hey, Serbia, I know you've got Nikola Jokic. You know who we're counting with? Joel Embiid, the one guy who's threatened your MVP campaign for the last 4 years in a row. That's how you negate that. So, I love this roster. It's guys who want to be here, guys who want to put their name in the history books, vets, and you've matched up with your biggest threat in pool play, Serbia, player for player on the outside. I love this roster.
I love the roster too, but so is there any part of you concerned that they could lose?
Yeah, this is not, like you said earlier, it used to be guaranteed dominance. It used to be the Olympics were really just a formality. It was a coronation for the Americans. International basketball has been skyrocketing both popularity and talent. The NBA is considering propping up a foreign European league to grow more Nikola Jokic's and Luka Doncic's. I will say this. Even with Serbia, with Luka and Nikola Jokic, even with France, who has been sending NBA players over, Germany, who has been sending NBA players over, there ain't an international roster that's got 50% of the talent that this roster has on it, because this roster, Steve Kerr called the big boys in the league and said, look, I know we haven't really been super compelling in the Olympics. I want you there this time. And the guy signed on. I love this roster. And I think it's guys who want to be there. I am willing to. So here's how confident I am in this roster. I will throw a gold medal bet at the Americans before the Olympics starts. Now, we're probably not going to be big-time moneymakers. It's probably going to be plus 150, plus 175. We will be the betting favorites. I'll feel like, you know what it feels like to me? Scottie Scheffler. That's how I feel. Exact same way I felt about Scottie Scheffler. 3-1 doesn't feel great to win the Masters, but sometimes you got to just sit back and go, he's the best in the world. He's the best in the world for a reason. Speaking of Scottie Scheffler, I want to play some clips from Pat McAfee, who talked about him a little bit yesterday, but when we come back, got a few more things that I would love to get into on the show, including coming up next, the betting line for Clemson v. Georgia has moved again. It was already sitting around double digits. So did the gap close, or have folks lost even more faith in Los Tigres? We will address that when we come back. Rob, Lonzo, and you, the Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It's the Fan Upstate. Obviously, one of the more anticipated games of this year's collegiate football season is the opener in Atlanta, Georgia. Clemson taking on the UGA Dogs. Dabo and his Tigers. Expectations raised this year, I think it's fair to say. Going to be a tough one out of the gate, at least if you believe Las Vegas.
You said expectations raised. What raised to what?
Get back to the ACC title this year.
Okay.
I think that's got to be the goal.
It's got to be the first goal for sure.
Yeah. I think you can chalk up last year as, hey, Florida State put together an incredible team through the portal, and they did it. Can they do it back-to-back years? We're going to find out. Florida State spring game is this weekend. We'll get a better look at that team. I don't think so. Last year's defensive unit for Florida State was unbelievably good. I don't think they're going to be as good this year. So I think the goal for Clemson, anything less than an ACC title, is frankly disappointing to me. And you guys know, at least I think, of everybody that's been on this station for the past couple of years, I think I usually set the most reasonable goals, right? I think last year going in, Mark's thing was anything less than the playoffs is a bust. I could be wrong. I think Diesel said the same thing.
They were both right, as far as at least in the fans' eyes.
Sure, without a doubt. I don't think that was ever respectfully realistic last year. This year, I don't think the playoffs are realistic. I think it's possible with the expanded playoffs.
I was going to say, even while...
Yeah, let's take that back. Playoffs are a realistic expectation.
If they can at least make it to the ACC championship game, they've got a good shot of making it in.
I would be fine with that. I would concur with that. So, expectations being managed are a big deal this year, for certain. You got Georgia out of the gate. What does Vegas say about this game? Well, I will tell you, I don't think you're going to like it. The most recent odds show Georgia becoming an even bigger favorite, great one. Now the dogs are double-digit favorites. They are 12.5-point favorites now over the Clemson Tigers. 12.5-point favorites over Los Tigres. That's a big number, dude. That's a real big number.
Are you surprised?
12.5. I think this is a result. We talked a little bit about the spring game. We had John Palau on Monday. We'll ask him about this next Monday when he rejoins us. He joined us and he said, hey, look, Cade did not look like an improved quarterback. Cade did not look like he has grown since the end of last season.
Year three for Cade?
Year three on the team, second year as a full-time starter. Did not look like he has grown. Does not look like he is any better than he was last year. And last year he was, the best I could say is, he was okay last year.
And apparently the backup, one of the backups did.
A walk-on.
Yeah, did better. So yep. That means you know what you're going to be hearing. If Cade struggles.
Oh, the calls for replacement are going to be swift for sure. Let's get Vezina in there. Now, again, I don't quite think you're going to be in a spot where folks are going to be calling for Vezina to get the Insta promotion. But maybe. You had a walk-on show up and immediately outplay your starting quarterback. That's not going to be something that that Clemson fans are gonna frankly tolerate, to be honest with you. I think you're in a little bit of trouble here. And the fact that you're looking at a squad that is a double-digit favorite to a team that, and this is true, I went back and checked the history books, did not make the playoffs last year. Now, they didn't make the playoffs because they lost to Alabama. And Alabama was, again, also pretty good last year. But Georgia didn't make the playoffs last year. And you're a 12.5-point dog to this team. Again, I think a lot of that has to do with the spring game, a spring game that a lot of folks considered to be, frankly, a disappointing showing for this team. And that is, in my opinion, understandable, to be quite honest with you. But a 12.5-point dog, 12.5 points feels like a lot. So knowing that's the line, knowing that's the spot that you find yourself in, Los Tigres, what's your thought? Now, there is some boost here. And Vegas takes this into consideration, but Trevor Etienne's not going to be available for that game. It does not appear. Going to catch a suspension as he has continued the long-standing tradition of Georgia players getting in trouble driving cars.
Or just about anything that Georgia players do during the summer.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Your boy CJ Stroud threw out a first pitch for the Astros last night.
I saw that.
Clean down the pipe.
Yeah, not exactly what Gronk did. I don't know if you saw Gronk's.
Gronk's was excellent. He Gronk spiked it. That was a Gronk spike.
Okay.
That was on purpose.
If you say so.
That was a Gronk spike. CJ went out there and corked it right down the pipe. Second best first pitch I've ever seen anybody throw out.
Can you count yours as seeing it, though, because you were throwing it? How much of it did you see?
I'm a pitcher. I watched that thing laces all the way in.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah.
You were able to count the rotations? Oh, yeah. You're so dialed in.
I know the exact RPM I hit on the breaking ball low and away. Caught the corner. Caught the rubber. Absolutely. For the record, I'm not shocked by this. I'm not shocked by 12.5. Georgia reloads. Clemson is in flux. And I'm curious to see what this line does over the next couple of weeks after all the spring games are concluded. By the way, Lonzo, happy transfer portal opening day to you.
Hey, same to you.
We're going to be very busy tomorrow talking about players you've never heard of before. I'm looking forward to it. You know what else I'm looking forward to? Lonzo, pleasuring our ear holes with his sports flesh.
Ew. Let's start with some hockey. Edmonton Oilers star Connor McDavid became just the fourth player in NHL history to notch 100 assists in a single season. McDavid returned to the lineup against the San Jose Sharks after missing three games with an injury, and in the second period sent the helper to Zach Hyman for the goal. It's still weird for me to read it that way. The only other players with 100 assists in the season are all really, really good. Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Bobby Orr. I've heard of those guys. The NBA play-in tournament begins tonight with a pair of matchups in the West at 7:30. LeBron James and the Lakers take on Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans. The winner of that game gets the Nuggets in round one. The loser will take on the winner of the matchup between Golden State and Sacramento for the eighth seed against Oklahoma City, while the loser of that game is eliminated. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson, Diesel. Tune in.